1 Samuel 18:1 through 5. When kindness is king. I want to begin tonight by making a confession to you. And the confession that I would like to make tonight is this. I have issues. You do too, right? The issues that I have tonight, it's not just about tonight, it's about this season. My issues are with fake people around Christmas time. You know, people that hate you, dislike you, scandalize your name, call you everything but a child of God all year long. Amen. And then at Christmas time, they say, Merry Christmas. Yes, ma'am. Happy New Year. Peace and blessings to the family. Kindness is not supposed to be something that you show just during the holiday season. Kindness is where we get benevolence from. Kindness is when you do something for someone with nothing in return, no expectation. You just do it because that's who you are. At the core of kindness is character. Because kindness expresses my character. Kindness says this is what you look like on the inside. So if you ever meet a person, that person never shows you kindness, that's what they look like on the inside. And so what God does is allow you to express yourself by showing kindness so that people can see the God that is inside of you. Now, when you meet people, who you initially meet is not really them. When you meet people, you meet the other one. You meet the one that they like, but that's not really all of them. So you meet people and they show you this wonderful person. And then the more you start talking to them, it seems like that wonderful person began to disappear. We can fake for a little while, but eventually the true person comes to surface. So my goal tonight is to talk about kindness a little bit, because I want to show you how kindness will always come back and repay you for what you have done. But I have to back up and talk about something in order to get us to where we are tonight and to get us prepared for Sunday. So what I want to talk about is a story of Jonathan and the story of David. Now, Jonathan has had a father, and Jonathan's father was Saul. Saul was a man that he was king, and he had this whole territory, and everything was going his way. And then one day, this young guy comes about out of the house of Jesse, and his name is David. Now, David come about, and David's family really is a nobody type family. I don't know about you, but people sometimes will identify you based off your family. And so what Saul did, I assume, was just say, oh, you know, this is somebody else's. He's a nobody. He's from down the street, from the projects. It's nothing to him. But when God has something in store for you, it makes no difference where you're coming from. God is always looking at where he's taking you to. You get hung up on, this is where I'm from, therefore I can't do this, or all of these limitations, and God is saying, I'm not concerned about that. See, you gotta continue to seek and to focus on God. Now, the Bible declares that God will deal with every man or woman according to the measurement of your faith. Where you are tonight is the result of your faith. If you don't like where you are, change your thinking. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit over my situation. I'm talking about if I can believe God for it, God is big and bad enough to do it. But what God is calling me to do is take a step of faith. Now, the Bible says that faith is the substance, the ingredients. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Whatever I desire, in order for me to see it, I gotta believe it. Amen. Now, faith is not believing in what you see. Faith is believing in the person who is able to do it. So faith outside of Jesus Christ is wishful thinking. Now, I really want to take the time tonight because I really want to teach, because I really want to set you up for what's coming. Now, we sometimes live in a place, and we're in this place, and everything that we need, nothing is there. It's a land where we live and we feel like we don't have enough money. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. Every single thing that we need, it's all lacking something. You ever felt like sometimes in life when the car is running, the plumbing is broke, when the plumbing is fixed, then the child is acting up, when the child straightened out, then a problem happens over here, and when this one happens, then always is something going on in life. And so as long as something is going on, then our attention is over here, and our attention is over there, and our attention is here. And if you're not careful, you'll back away from Christ instead of pressing toward. You ever met someone and when times get hard, they stop going to church? Oh, yeah. And they say, well, I just didn't want to be around nobody. And Satan is saying, great, stay at home. I'm going to wear your tail out. And so what we have to learn is that when we're going through something, that we have to press closer to God. Now, look at verse number 1 in chapter number 18. Verse number 1. You see that? And it came to pass, when he had made an end of his speaking of Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now what that is a friendship. What that is an unconditional love. Is an agape love. God will always place some people in your life that loves you in spite of. There are some people in your life that you can tell them the worst things that you've ever done, and they look at you and say, what's next? Because they really don't care about what you've done. It doesn't change how they feel about you, what they think about you. That's almost irrelevant. See, when you really connect with a person, when your soul, and I like this because it didn't say, you know, they clap hands and they were brothers together. It says their soul was knitted. When your soul touched someone else's soul, you can't walk away. But if there's a filios love, it's a conditional love. And that is, when you stop doing this, I'm gone. But what God is saying is that when I knit you with someone, it's an agape love, and nothing can separate you from that person. So Jonathan says, now I see this guy, and this is David. Now what you have to know about Jonathan is Saul's son, and he was, if Saul is the king, he's the prince. He's next in line. So he didn't need David. You need to be in a relationship with people who don't need anything from you. As long as you're in a relationship with someone and they need something from you, it makes you skeptical of the relationship because you're waiting on the question. Can you? Will you? How much? You're waiting on something. See, but when you're in a godly relationship, that's not it. That's not the core. The core is, what can I do for you? See, love is always giving. Love is not receiving. So what the Bible says is that what Jonathan did is said, David, I'm setting you up because I want to give you what I deserve. I can't say tonight that I could have been Jonathan. Next in line, and some little boy come about that I know nothing about, and I say, here, I'm gonna disrobe myself. You see that? Now, look at verse number 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe. That is, now, what the robe represents is your royalty. It identifies who you are. So Jonathan said, here, you can have my robe. Not only can you have my robe, the Bible then says, and he gave also his sword. Right? So he gave him his clothes, and he gave him his weapon to say, whatever you like to do to me now, you can, because I've entrusted you. Some of us are giving our words, giving our heart, giving our soul to people, and they're taking that same sword and they're stabbing us. Be careful who you're in a relationship with. So what Jonathan is saying is that God has placed me with this person. I don't want anything in return. I can't even see down the road. I don't know that my dad is going to die pretty soon and I'm going to need this person. He's not thinking about, I'm moving here and I'm planning and here's his strategy, because that's what we do sometimes. So I hook up with this person because I think you're going somewhere. So if you get there, then you can bring me. So the relationship is not real, because what I'm doing is I'm expecting you to move here so you can give me back something in exchange. Now, in this relationship, Jonathan says, here's my clothes, here's my sword. And what verse number 4 is a picture of Jesus Christ, where he says, I'm leaving heaven, coming down on the earth, I'm gonna disrobe myself of being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm gonna wear your clothes, I'm gonna wear your sins. I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to take the word and the spirit and the Holy Ghost that is inside of me, and I'm going to give you my power. So God has positioned us through Jesus Christ so that because of God's or Jesus' kindness toward us, whatever we need down the road, we're already in the position to receive it. Okay? We call kindness grace. And grace is unmerited favor. Grace is when God gives me something that I don't deserve, or keep back from me something I do deserve. And so what God is teaching us is that I'm going to put you in a place where you got to show kindness toward the next person as my son Jesus Christ has showed kindness toward you. Now look at verse number 3. Then Jonathan and David made a what? A covenant. Now a covenant is a promise. It's when two people go into a relationship and they say, nothing can separate us. A covenant is in fact what a marriage is supposed to be today. But we don't care anything about that. We walk in a minute on that one. But that's what a covenant is. A covenant is to say, in the Bible, in biblical days, they had salt covenant. It's where you take sand and you take salt, and you mix the sand and the salt together. And so for you to get a divorce, you have to pull the salt out of the sand. Now, if you hate somebody enough that you're going to sit there and look for the salt in the sand, you understand what he's saying? So he said, here's a covenant relationship. So what they're saying is that we're stuck together like brothers and nothing will ever separate us. And remember, when they made this covenant agreement, David didn't have anything. Okay? Now, because David didn't have anything to offer, Jonathan's heart was pure toward him. Okay? Now, Miss Pam, look at verse number 6, please. I want to show you how this relationship changed. Verse number 6, read, please.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass as to say that all the things 1-5 took place. Now, something else is about to happen. Go ahead.
When David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines.
David went out and David killed some people. David defended his people. David, this military warrior, he went out, killed people to defend the city. Then he came back. And what happened?
That the women came out.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. You tried to run. Read it again, please.
Okay. And it came to pass.
Now, everything was fine in the house. Nobody had no problems. Everybody was just loving one another. Everybody was making covenant agreements with each other. No problems whatsoever. Now keep reading, Miss Pam.
When David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines.
David went out. He did a wonderful job. He came back.
The women came out.
Now watch this now. Sometimes what guys will do, your little ego get in the way. And so somebody say, Chuck killed 1,000, but Don killed 10,000. Then that covenant agreement that they had is all of a sudden gone because that male ego come into play. But the women didn't. Keep reading. I'm just joking. Keep reading.
That the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music.
Now, instead of people understanding the covenant relationship that they are in, they allow somebody, an outsider, to come in and mess up their relationship. Doesn't that sound like us today? You can have a happy and a peaceful home. Girl, if I was you, I wouldn't take that. Dude, if I was you, I'll do this and I'll do that. You can't allow somebody from the outside to come into your covenant agreement because God is looking at you, not at them. Keep reading.
And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000.
Now, look. How do they know how many Saul, how many David killed? They're women. They didn't go to battle. So how do they know? See, sometimes, fellas, we can allow somebody to stroke our little ego. And so we get all macho and we miss the will of God because we become people pleasers instead of God pleasers. Don't ever allow yourself to come so high and mighty that God can't use you. Now, Saul was king. He should have had security of knowing, I'm the king, I don't care what you say, what you do, I'm still the king. But instead, he turned everything around. So now, look at this. Watch this. Now, let me show you how Satan identifies himself. Here it is, Saul the king is chasing after a nobody.
All right, man.
Unless the nobody has the Shekinah glory upon his God, upon his head. And so what Saul knows is that this is him. That's why when Jesus stepped into this earth, that's why God says, now this is my beloved son. See, what Saul was saying is that I see the glory that is upon you. Sometimes people can see God in you when you can't see God in yourself. Sometimes Satan will allow someone to see where God is taking you even before you have enough faith to see it for yourself. You got to know the God that is in you and where God is taking you even when it doesn't look clear, even when everything is not lining up, even when you just came from the project. And you are David or nobody from nothing. But when God says, I have need for you, baby, God is going to get that need out of you. Nobody can stop you. Saul can't stop you. The king or the prince or nobody else can stop you when God has something in store for you. Keep reading.
And Saul was very wrong and the saying displeased him.
Now listen. Now here is the king. Now all of a sudden, he's mad with David because the women said that David killed more than Saul. Now, listen, when your children do something to you, and they say, I'm going to do this. You really don't get upset because you know what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. What I look like arguing with Tiffany about my car keys? That's crazy. They're mine. What am I arguing about? And so Saul should have said, I'm the king. Why am I intimidated by this young little Rudy Poo guy? Why is he intimidating me? But instead, watch this. He came down to the people's level. And that's so many of us, is that when we begin to we're headed somewhere with God, we'll miss our blessing because we'll come down. We'll stop being kind because, I'm coming down. I'm going to get you. And you miss your blessing trying to get somebody when you better stay your little tail where you're supposed to be and get your blessings. That's the getting that you need. So he comes down to somebody else's level. Don't you let nobody make you come down to their level. When you come down to somebody else's level, you are less than they are. Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000s.
Look, not only does he have a problem with it, he's so crazy, he go back and repeat what somebody else said negative about him. Now, if somebody lied on you, why you going to go back and repeat the same lie? If it's a lie, leave it alone.
Amen.
But no, we got to go and we got to say, did you know so-and-so said this about me? So here we are repeating stuff that is not true. And so we are the one that keep putting gasoline on it. So it's getting bigger and bigger. And we wonder, why is this thing keep on going? Why won't it just go away? Because you keep talking about it. Leave it alone. Keep going, please.
And what can he have more but the kingdom?
See, that's it. See, wait. What he was concerned about, if I don't stop him now, I can't stop him ever. Where you are, you need to be secure in where you are. Can't nobody take your stuff. Can't nobody take your position. Can't nobody take your office. Can't nobody take your car. Can't nobody take your house. Can't nobody take nothing from you. See, we're sometimes so concerned or so consumed with what if I lose it? What if you don't? Think about most of the stuff that we worry about. Half of it doesn't happen. But yet we worried about this and worried about that. And somehow at the end, it all works out. Amen. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. See, all God wants us to do is just to walk through, and in spite of what people are doing to us, you be kind toward them. Keep reading, please.
And saw I David from that day forward.
From that day forward, in other words, women, you can relate to this. Somebody always looking and rolling your eyes. You often hear women talk about that. Oh, she rolled her eyes at me. Rolled her eyes. And so from that day forward, the relationship is just over. Now, I want to close with this thought and then pick it up on Sunday. I want to close on the thought of this. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 15:6, it says, the traditions of man make the son, make the tradition of man make the word of God of non-effect. In other words, what it's saying is that we're so stuck on what mama and grandmama said that we won't even allow God to be God in our life. God wants to do something, but somebody said this. And God is saying, but what about what I said? So imagine where Jonathan is, torn between two people. Do I follow my father, who is wrong, or do I follow the anointing of God that is upon Jonathan's life? Which way do I go? Is kindness king? I hope you've been blessed, and I hope that you're here on Sunday, because I want to pick up right there with which way do I go? Do I follow my father, my family members who are wrong, or do I follow the anointing that is upon somebody that God is placing me in a relationship?